This is the Goddess Vibration Podcast, and this is your co-host, Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, we wanted to talk about being stuck, which I honestly feel like everyone can probably relate to this.
Oh my gosh. There are so many people who are in this stage. And, you know, I kind of look at it as like a collective tower card. Well, I guess mostly in this case, the tower card is reversed. But where they know they want something different, but they feel trapped in their circumstances because they need to pay their bills or they need to make sure they're bringing in income and they want to keep a house over their head. And even though they're so, so unhappy, they let themselves stay in these circumstances because that's what you do, you know, when you need to pay the bills. And I completely understand that. Allie completely understands that. And so we wanted to talk about this a little bit because I want us to share out there that there is another way.
There is always another way. And I don't really think people realize that there's always another way. Now, does it mean it's going to be the right way? No, of course not. But I was saying that I live by the motto, it's better to try and to know versus not doing anything and not knowing. But that's because I am a very curious person and I let my curiosity and my intuition lead me. Now, I feel like for many people, they are stuck because of circumstances. But the general message of this episode is that there is always another way. It's just, is it going to be the right way? Well, no one knows that unless you try.
You know, I also think what's affecting a lot of people and keeping so many people stuck in their circumstances is fear. And it's related to that, right? Like it's fear of the unknown and fear that things might not work out. And that will keep you stuck in a situation or a circumstance for a very long time, if not forever. And Allie, you have this incredible quote about fear. You've shared it before, but can you share it again?
That comfort is the enemy of progress?
Oh, is that it? Yes. Okay. So I think comfort is another reason why people often stay in their circumstances. I know for me personally, I stayed in a very specific circumstance, even though I wasn't content, even though I wasn't fully happy, A, because I was comfortable, but also because I was afraid of the unknown and I was afraid of losing everything. And oftentimes when we talk to people about staying in these circumstances, that often comes up, especially about losing everything, especially if one of the fears that's keeping you there is, oh, I need to be able to pay my bills. I need to be able to keep a home over my head. I have children. I need to be able to provide for them. And all of that is valid and completely understandable. But I think when it comes to trying to change your circumstances, especially if you're not happy and you're not content and you want something better and different, you have to take a leap. And that requires courage, but it also requires overcoming the fear and not letting it keep you stuck.
Tiara is absolutely right. Now, something that I'm just going to obviously talk about my own personal experience with this is because I experienced so much, I guess you could say, hate growing up because I was bullied. It's interesting what happened to me through that experience. Something, I made it if I was a light switch, it's like that switch went off in me. And I don't know why, but I let all the negativity kind of fuel me into a better life. Now, there was a period in my life where I was feeling stuck and depressed and no way out, like feeling like I had no options and no way out. And I knew that my world was getting darker and darker. And something inside of me flipped that switch where I just was like, there has to be something better out there. And because I had that epiphany, even though I was still terrified, like I did not like change as a kid. Like I remember when my parents moved from one house to another, like I thought my world was ending. I was just like, I resisted change. I didn't like change. And unfortunately, that change actually made my life worse in a lot of ways. And because I had that ignited fuel inside of me of all the negativity, I was just like, I'm gonna turn all this negativity into positives, where it led me down the path to graduate high school early. And it allowed me to leave Vermont, where I grew up, and start college out of state. And like, it just kind of gave me the fuel and the ambition to make my circumstances better.
You know, I did something similar, but I didn't. I used fear as a motivator, particularly when it came to even taking on and going on to this spiritual journey. And so we're not necessarily recommending that, but obviously from our anecdotes, it is something that can be used as fuel to at least get you going in some regards. I think ultimately, if you want something better for yourself and you want a better life or you have dreams, I think that should be the fire, especially if you know that there is something better for you out there. And for all of us, there is.
There absolutely is. And I would say that it is really important if you are feeling a lot of negativity to transmute that into positivity. Now, I know that sounds easier said than done. I'm definitely not claiming that it's easy, but even if you don't have the means to do bigger changes, start with the little changes. Because once you start making the little changes, it's like you see how you feel through it, right? It's really important that you connect to yourself and you can feel through the change. And it's only by making either small progress or even big progress that you'll know if something's working or not. But if you don't at least try, then life might be really, really rough road.
You know, when I was talking to a therapist, she had said something similar. And, you know, Allie, I'm glad you brought that up about starting with small changes, because sometimes all you need to get that big motivator is to start very, very small. So, like, what are some of the small changes that you can implement now that can at least get you towards your long-term goal? Like, even if you can't do everything, like, just start small with some of the things you can implement. And oftentimes when you start that, other things will start to make sense and even start to align for you. So that's a really good place to start.
That's an excellent place to start. And I feel like a lot of people who want to make those really big changes in life are waiting for everything to be aligned and for all the ducks to be lined up in a row, because it just gives those people the sense of security and comfort.
Absolutely. And I know that that's how I've always operated, like, especially when it's come to some of the things I wanted to do, or even with like businesses, I always wanted to make sure that my ducks were perfectly aligned. And, you know, I'm so glad I had Allie, because she has called me out on that multiple times. And she was actually the one who pointed out to me, about how stuck and stagnant I was because of that, but also because of fear and because of how comfortable I was. And I'm so glad that I did take that leap. Now, with that said, yeah, your life is going to be disrupted. Like, there's no getting around that. So for myself, I came out of a marriage and a situation where I wasn't happy. I honestly don't think he was happy either. But oftentimes when we're married, we kind of do this thing where we're like, oh, we're going to stick it out to the end because that's it's a contract and you make it work regardless. Which, okay, I get that. But I also think that that's a little antiquated, especially today when we have so many people who want something different and are not happy and are choosing their circumstance or relationship because of societal pressures. And I think that that's crazy. And I think some of the pressures behind marriage are also crazy. That's just my personal opinion. But the first biggest leap that I took was also encouraged by Ali. She invited me to come visit her in Colombia. And that took 10 years. It took me 10 years to get that passport and pull that and do that trip, I think. And I'm so glad that I did because it was life changing. Absolutely life changing. It was my first time traveling internationally. It was a whole new world and experience. I had so much fun and it changed my perspective on travel. And that's what I mean when I say taking that leap and just doing it, because you have no idea what that will provide for you and do for you.
I've been taking many leaps. Like, I would say the first really significant experience for me was when I was out of college and losing support of my parents, and I was like an adult and I had to start making my own money and figure out life. That's really, really scary. And I remember that, like, I wanted to move to California. I'd never even been to California. And I was going to drive across the country because I know I needed a car. And I was one of those people that just wanted to have all my ducks lined up. Like, I spent probably a good month applying for so many jobs in San Diego. And, like, unfortunately, especially when you want to relocate, it's even harder because companies don't want to pay a relocation fee. And unfortunately, like, I wasn't skilled enough or had really any work experience at this point. I think I was 20 when I moved to San Diego. And yeah, so I wasn't going to get a relocation fee. And of course, like, I didn't have much work experience. And I remember, like, just being so frustrated that I was just like, God, am I just going to stay in Vermont? Like, what am I doing? And I just was like, well, I can do what's easy and what's more comfortable. I can stay in the state. I can get a job here. I'll be close to family. But I really, really, really wanted to be near the ocean and I wanted to be in warmer weather and I really wanted to try out California. And I was like really like debating and like basically putting myself through agony of like, do I just stay and do what's comfortable and make sense? Or do I just get in my car, drive across the country and try to figure it out? And then, of course, that's when the doubt came in. And I was like, well, what if I go there and I don't get the job and everything? And then I have to come back to Vermont. And then it's just like all these things, I'm sure for anyone who wants to relocate, I'm sure they're going through the exact same thought processes. So it was like a lot, but it just, I had to know. Like, I'm that type of person that has to know. So I packed up my car. I drove across the country by myself. And Craigslist was obviously a much better marketplace, especially back in the early 2000s, mid 2000s than it is today. It was much more reliable. There was a lot less scams. but I had like found a room to rent on Craigslist that was in my price range, and it was month to month, so that was perfect. And then, you know, I got there and I immediately had to start looking for a job. And that was like the biggest thing for me, because I also took out student loan debt at that point. And I was just like, oh my God, like I'm officially an adult. And sometimes, like, you just have to take the plunge, even if all the ducks are not lined up in a row, because that absolutely was not the case for me. And, you know, once I got to San Diego, I figured it out. And because it worked out, I was very fortunate in that way. It gave me more confidence to do bolder moves in my future.
Yes. And that's why we mentioned earlier starting out small, because those small moves can give you the confidence that you need to make the bigger moves. And I took a similar leap too when I moved from California to Arizona, and I was doing the same thing. Like, I was applying for jobs and nothing was aligning, nothing was working. I had like one position that I had interviewed for remotely and it looked good, and they said they didn't give it to me because I wasn't there. And I was just like, oh my God, we just need to pull the trigger and pull and just move and then try to find work later. And you know, considering that I'm the type of person that likes to have my ducks in a row, doing something like that was, it was scary. And I wasn't sure it was going to work out, but I just was like, you know, the circumstance that we're in now is, at that time, was so unhealthy and it was not good for us. We were working so much in the Bay Area, trying to make the rent. Like, you know, at the time, my boyfriend had two jobs. I think I had one job, but I was trying to find a second job. And I was like, this is no way to live. Like, we can't even enjoy going out to see the Bay Area or have fun or do anything because we're so busy trying to survive. And I was like, I don't want to keep living like this. So we ended up just moving to Arizona without any jobs lined up. Now, we were fortunate because we were able to rely on loved ones for money. And I know that not everyone has that privilege. So I understand that our situation was a little different in that regard. But we took that plunge, took that leap, and then we're able to secure jobs relatively quickly once we got to Arizona. And it worked. It worked out for us. So again, sometimes you just need to do that and take the plunge. And we know that that requires an astounding amount of courage and faith. And I know that that is hard for a lot of people right now. It was hard for me. In many ways, that's still very difficult for me. But sometimes you just have to weigh the pros and cons. And if your circumstance is miserable enough that you would rather take the plunge for something better, I say do so.
I say do so too. I mean, it's just, I think it's really important for any of our listeners to know that we, as individuals, are the only creators of our reality. No one else is going to give us the reality that we want. No one else is going to just come in and swoop us off our feet and have some magical fairy tale. And I think a lot of people forget that. I think a lot of people are just, it's good to have empathy and compassion for others, but I think where people get lost is the fact that they forget that we are the creators of our own individual world.
Absolutely. And, you know, something that I didn't really consider back then was that oftentimes the current energetic state that you are and the things that you carry is what's reflected back to you in your physical reality. So if you're in a circumstance driven by fear, well, what is the universe going to give you? You know, you're going to see a manifestation of many of those fears. And that happened to me. So
do you want to give some examples on that?
Oh, So I had a couple, just as an example, I had a couple business endeavors that I wanted to do. I'm very like ambitious type A personality. So like I was always coming up with ideas. I had a photo booth business for a little bit, and then I pursued like a corporation for a little bit. And then I also had another spiritual business tied to like womb healing, which the concept was, it was great. And like, I always got excellent feedback on it, but subconsciously I was carrying this fear of not being good enough. I was carrying this fear of failing. I was carrying a fear of being rejected by people. Like maybe they'll find out that I'm actually at my core, not the person I think I am. And so the business never succeeded. And at the end of the day, that's because of what I was carrying in beliefs toward myself. So that's what I mean when I say sometimes we can be carrying things that manifest in our physical and sometimes not even know that those things are there, which is why we talk about how important deeper healing and shadow work is. Now, the biggest leap I ever took and have ever taken to this day was leaving my marriage and moving back home. The biggest leap, and it required so much. And, you know, I thank Allie and commend her for helping me realize that I was stuck and stagnant and unhappy, because we kind of lie to ourselves, right? Like we tell ourselves that, hey, no, actually I'm perfectly content in this miserable situation, and no, I can make this work. And hey, you know, being content is sometimes good enough. Who needs happiness? Like happiness is an illusion. Like, you know, we say these things to ourselves and we lie to ourselves, and we often don't realize that we're doing that. So I'm fortunate that I had someone in my life who was able to show me that and tell me that. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure I'd probably still be there. Like, no joke. So that leap was, it was hard and it was very difficult. It required a lot of courage. I had people look at me like I was crazy. Like, oh, you're leaving this comfy, cozy, happy job. Like you're making all this money. Like people would kill to have a job like this. And I have to justify my decision by telling people, yeah, but I'm miserable and I'm mentally exhausted from it. And sometimes you might try to feel like you need to justify your decision. You don't need to justify your decision to anyone. People might have questions and they might say things to you, but so what? It's your life, not theirs. And that also took some time for me because I did feel like I needed to justify myself. And what was most difficult was trying to justify some of my dreams and spiritual aspirations with my partner at the time, who unfortunately didn't see it the same way. We didn't see it eye to eye. We had very different visions and views in regards to not only life, but also what it means to live a fulfilled life and like what it means to pursue your dreams. And, you know, he was supportive. I give it to him that he was supportive, but he didn't understand. And that's difficult. And, you know, I hear stories about people who are in relationships or marriages where the partners sort of drift in different directions when it comes to their dreams and their goals and even their values, because our values change dramatically. And I personally don't think it's possible to sustain a long-term relationship when your values start to shift. And that's what was happening. And I realized that. So I took this gigantic leap. And after visiting Colombia the first time, I was like, you know, what if I go back? And then Allie was like, you know, you should come back and try it out for a couple months. And I was like, you know, why not? I should do that. You only live once. Now, I do remember in my position, because I had a full-time position in government at the time, I remember telling them that I was leaving my job for the purpose of traveling and wanted to live in Colombia. I was going to be there for months. And several people were like, oh my gosh, that is so courageous. And I admire that so much. And that is so amazing. And I'm so inspired by that. So the acts of taking that leap of faith can be very admirable and inspiring to other people. And it's most certainly going to do that, because again, so many of us are stuck in these circumstances and situations where we feel like we should just live life as we've been taught. When you break out of that, it can be inspiring and courageous, and you might not know how you might impact someone else just by taking that leap.
Tiara's right. I know for me, Tiara's actually said something really interesting about feeling like you need to be defensive when people are questioning, like, your next move. And I know that I have been there, and I know that that fear of judgment is probably what keeps a lot of people stuck.
Oh, it's so huge. So huge. And my sister has said something similar about her circumstance, about how she fears judgment. And I'm like, so? It's your life, not theirs.
Exactly. And it's just, it's wild to me. It's not that wild to me because I've literally been there, but like, I have also been labeled as being a selfish person because I still went ahead and did it. And it's just interesting how people make those judgments and how people put those labels on you when ultimately it's not their decision, it's not their life.
And, you know, it's kind of crazy that the unfortunate thing is I had to defend that to my partner at the time, too, and defend my dreams and my goals and my decisions, because his whole perspective was that that could fail. What if that fails? And
exactly.
Yeah, that could fail. And what if that fails? What are you going to do if you fail? What are you going to do if you run out of money? Like, you're leaving this fantastic job. Like, that's not smart. Like, you shouldn't do that.
Right. Yeah. And people think like, yeah, I mean, on paper, everything can look great. Right. And I know with social media today, a lot of people who are influencers, like, that's part of their job, is to put out this certain lifestyle or put, like, make your life seem more grander than it actually is. And it's just really interesting to me how all these people are just, the way that people want to be perceived and how people, like, want to put out the image of, hey, look at me, I'm successful. But in reality, so many of those people are so unhappy.
Oh my God. Social media is such a lie. Like, it is a total lie. And a lot of people that post these grandiose lives and, you know, pretty pictures and look at my perfect, beautiful life. Like, you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes for these people. And that's what irks me most about social media, is that I feel like so much of the things that we see is, it's a lie, and it's constructed and crafted to be presented in this specific way that is so far from reality. So, you know, please do keep that in mind when you guys are seeing some of these influencers and these people on your timeline that feel like they're just, or that look like they're just living these dreams. Now, you know, that's not to say that some of them aren't. There are a lot of people who are living their dreams and are perfectly content and happy and fulfilled. But when it comes to social media, like, it's often not the case. So just, you know, be mindful of that.
Well, the reason why I brought social media into it was the fact of the judgment piece and how people want to be perceived to the public and how people are fearful of judgment, because I feel like that obviously impacts other people feeling inadequate or feeling like they have no self-worth or feeling like, you know, just jealousy and envy. It can produce a lot of really negative emotions and energies within a person. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's really important that people really wake up to the reality of no one else is going to be the creator of your life. You are in the driver's seat. And you can either make things happen or stay stuck. but it's no one else's decision. It ultimately comes down to you, the individual.
I don't know why we do this thing in our society where we compare our life to other people's lives. And
well, social media probably has something to do with that.
Right. But even before social media, like, I know the whole concept of keeping up with the Joneses was a thing about how, like, people who live on the same block and maybe have similar incomes would try to outdo and out one up each other when it comes to toys. And I saw this firsthand when I was living with my family. We had neighbors who would buy boats and buy jet skis and or buy a new truck. And then, like, somebody else would buy a new truck and new jet skis. And it was always just, like, a competition. And it's like we do this thing where we want to one-up each other in some kind of way. And so we compare ourselves to each other. Like, it's a contest. And I'm just like, where does this come from? Why do we do this? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, does that really matter? It shouldn't, and it doesn't.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I remember a childhood friend, obviously we're not in contact anymore, say, like, oh, like, Allie grew up in one of the biggest houses in town. So, like, my little dinky town of, like, a population of 1,000 or less in Vermont, like, we just, my family owned, like, one of these really old, beautiful Victorian houses, like, on the street where there was tons of old Victorian houses. It's just, mine just so happened to be one of the larger ones. And it's, like, I remember she had said that, like, once I was with her, and she was, like, oh, like, Allie lives in one of the largest Victorian houses, like, in the town. And I was just, like, why does that even matter? And I looked at her, and I said that, and she was, like, why are you asking that? And I was like, I don't know. It's just the way that you emphasize that. Like, it didn't really even cross my mind. And I know to my parents, I know it was the same thing. I know my parents were just like, you know, it's not something that we bragged about, because it just was our house. It's just interesting how other people label you like that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people watch you and watch what you have and see what you have and then judge you and try to compare themselves. And, like, it's just so unnecessary and it's so unneeded. And at the end of the day, what does it achieve? It really doesn't achieve anything. And so, you know, it was just, it's interesting how we've seen what started with keeping up with the Joneses sort of transition into this online thing where we're essentially doing the same thing. And at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters, you guys. You're here to live for yourself, not for or in comparison to anyone else.
And I don't think people really understand, like, we are our own creators, and you have the power within you to create any life that you want to. Now, that's not saying you're not going to make mistakes, and that's not saying that you're not going to make wrong decisions, and that's not saying that it's going to be easy. But if you don't try, you will never know.
Right? And, you know, for me, it has definitely not been easy. Like, oh my gosh, I've made so many mistakes and, like, tripped and fell and fallen so many times, and all I can do is just get back up and keep going and try something different or try a different way. And for me, it's because ultimately I know that there's something better for me, and I'm reaching for that and trying to get to that. And I know that the effort is worth that.
Yeah, I've taken many leaps. And honestly, it's through the leaps that I've taken that people are quite drawn to me. You know, it's because I have lived a very unconventional. I went from a very conventional life to a very unconventional life, because around my late 20s, like, something I've always wanted to do ever since I was a kid, like, since I could even probably remember, I've always wanted to travel. It is something that has just fueled me. And I remember, like, I had seen a lot of the United States by then because I've driven across the country a few times. And when you do that, you get to see a lot of the country. And I was ready for international travel. And I remember just being like, I can't go to another country by myself. So I was always, you know, asking my friends. But of course, like, international travel is very expensive. And so between the time off and the money, it just wasn't going to happen. And I was just getting so frustrated. I was like, Allie, like, are you really not going to see the world because you're too afraid to go by yourself? Like, these are the types of conversations I have to have with myself. And I remember this is when I was working with Tiara at a credit union in San Francisco. That's when I was just like, okay, I'm going to take all my PTO, which I had like almost a month accumulated at that point. And I was like, I'm just going to go to Europe and I'm going to do, I had a friend living in Italy. And so that helped, knowing that I had a friend in Italy that I was eventually going to meet up with. But I went to Italy, France, and Spain, and I had pre-planned it all, which I'm really not much of a pre-planner, but I was on limited time and I went, and it was the best decision of my life because it was after that, like 3.5 weeks, I came back and I was just like, I don't know how, but I am going to figure out leaving San Francisco, leaving this job and doing 1 year of traveling. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but I was going to make it happen. And I didn't care what I had to do to make it happen. And then 3.5 months later, that's when I was moving back to Vermont and booking my one-way ticket to Australia to start my year worth of travel. And it was completely life-changing. It finally took me out of the matrix, and the traveling experiences that I had, it was something that I actually really did need to have because I was in a really weird place at that point in my life. Like, traveling for me was life-changing because I finally got to see how other people lived. And I know that we shouldn't be comparing our lives to other people, but it gave me the perspective I needed to be able to be a better person and become the best version of myself.
And that is very inspiring. And I know for a fact that that's so inspiring to many people who know you, and that that's part of the reason why so many people are drawn to you, is because they're probably just in awe and inspired by the fact that you were able to do that. And I know that there are a lot of people who would love to travel or see the world and don't do so because they have these limitations or limiting beliefs, or, you know, they have concerns about expense. Because I was one of those people. I was like, I'm not going to go travel to Europe or South America or Africa. It's going to cost me like 10 grand. But, you know, because Allie has experience, like, she always reminded me, like, no, it's not going to cost an arm and a leg to travel. It's really not that serious. And that helped a lot because I needed that perspective.
I remember when Tiara was finally coming to visit me here in Colombia, and she was like, how much money am I going to need, like, for a week? And I swear to God, you guys, she thought I was going to throw out like thousands, like, you're going to need $3,000 for the week. Easy. And I literally said to her, I was like, you probably need $400. And she was like, what?
Yeah, I was like, there's no way. Ain't no way. I think I actually stashed more than that because I was like, that's not possible.
But right. And then she got here and then she couldn't even spend $400 in a week. And she was like, well, what can I go buy? Because I haven't spent my budget.
Right. I was like, wait a minute. I can't come back with all this money. Let's go find something else fun to do. Like, it was just, yeah, it was crazy because you were absolutely spot on. You were right. And again, I was carrying these limiting beliefs that, you know, made me feel like I needed to have a little bit more stash. So yeah, that's what we mean. Like, you know.
Now, that's not the case. It depends on where you go, people. Like, obviously, if you want to go to Monaco, yeah, no, it's not going to cost you $400. But I'm just saying, like, there are places, amazing places like Colombia, Peru, Thailand, like, where you don't need a lot for the week. And it's just, so of course, it depends on where you're going. Like, Tiara actually came with me to Korea. And yes, it was a larger budget. But, I mean, even then, she didn't even spend her whole budget in Korea for 2 weeks.
I spent, like, right... I was right there. I had a little extra, but I was, like, right at where I wanted. And that was so much fun, and I'm so glad that we did that. But you know where I really want to go? Like, I've just been thinking about this and looking around. I saw some imagery of, where was it? Denmark in the winter? Wait, hold on. Finland. Finland in the winter is the most beautiful winter wonderland I have ever seen. Just imagery and some of the research I've been doing. I'm like, this is bucket list. And so is Switzerland in the spring. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the imagery of the Swiss Alps in the springtime. Oh my God. Like, just imagery that I've only ever seen in dreams. So that's on my bucket list. I'm adding those two spots on my bucket list.
That's interesting. I actually have never been to either place. Iceland's also on my bucket list, but... I'm just saying, like, of course, where you go is going to dictate your budget, but I'm just saying that there are reasonably priced places that are way cheaper than the United States with a much higher quality of life.
Very true. Very true. You know, I was in Medellin for a little over 5 months, and the quality of life was so night and day from the United States. Like, I didn't feel like I was struggling or, like, fighting.
You could do
to
whatever
survive.
You wanted.
I could do whatever I wanted. I got to see and meet all these incredible new people. It was very immersive where I was living too, because, like, no one spoke any English. Everyone spoke Spanish, and so I was forced to use Spanish, which, you know, I studied 8 years of Spanish. I should know Spanish by now, but I've been lazy. And so yeah, I mean, like, I took that leap and I made it happen, and I'm so, so glad that I did.
I'm more excited for her to return.
I can't wait to come back. I have, like, a lot of things I still want to do. There was so many things I wanted to do that I didn't do, even in my 5 and 6 months there. But, like, yeah, I cannot wait to return. I miss all my Colombian buddies. I found this fantastic nail tech woman who lived in my apartment who did the most fantastic work. Now, it wasn't like American, like, it wasn't acrylic nails. It was just, she used gel, but she was very, very careful with her work, and she cared about quality, and she also cared about the health of my nails, and my nails grew the longest they have ever grown in my entire life, and they were beautiful. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. When I come back, you're the first person I'm going to.
I think it's also very important to point out is that Colombia has taken a very big initiative on, like, preserving, like, preservatives in their food and poison in their food. And I would say that the food here has definitely dramatically improved, and this initiative, like, I've noticed, like, the same things, like, my hair growing, my nails growing. I'm just like, I don't know what is in the food here, but it's definitely magic.
I don't know what it is either, because when I was over there, the same thing, like, not only did my nails grow, but my hair grew so fast. And I know it had to be something in Colombia, because when I came back to the United States, it started breaking. And I was like, what is different? Like, what? Like, I know the food is better quality over there. It's much more fresh. And, like, I feel like it tastes less processed. And I actually enjoyed the food. And I enjoyed buying the food in the store and cooking it, too. You could still taste the difference, even if you didn't go to a restaurant and consume food.
Oh my God, but, the eggs. I'm sorry. Yes. We just have to talk real quick, because there's Colombians that I know listen to this podcast. Your eggs are incredible.
So incredible. And, like, I think we went to get brunch, and that was the first time I had the Colombian eggs. And I remember, I think,
that was your first day here. Yes. When you came to visit in August, it was your first day. I was like, I know this amazing brunch place. And you're like, great, I'm down. And oh my God, Tiara almost died between the coffee and the eggs.
Like, I talked about those eggs for days, and I still do, because I came back to the United States and I was like, all right, maybe I can find, like, if I go to the farmer's market, maybe it'll taste like kind of similar. And I still cannot find any eggs that taste anything like what it was in Colombia. And I'm kind of frustrated. So when I go back, eggs is going to probably be one of the first things I eat.
That and coffee.
Oh, yes. And Colombian coffee. I mean, obviously, you know, known around the world for being some of the best. I tried buying Colombian coffee here. I don't know what Colombian coffee is here. Like, I have no idea what it is or where they source it from or what they do to it. It still tastes nothing like Colombia. So it's just something different with the food over there. And I can't put my finger on it. Like, I can't.
Yeah. So I hope that this really inspires you guys to know that, like, there is life outside of your circumstance. You just have to trust in yourself to take that leap of faith. And it's okay, because I feel like a lot of people don't tell you this. It's okay if it doesn't work out. It just, when something doesn't work out, it just leaves room for something new.
So, word of caution, if you struggle with self-worth issues or you feel like, you know, you're not capable at your core or that you don't deserve something better, sometimes if things don't work out, you might take it personal. And I know that I did that all the time. If something didn't work out, I would take it personal and then I would quit.
Yeah, Tiara did that with her businesses.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to share that that's not the case. That there is something within yourself that you need to look at and deal with to get past that belief, because it's the belief that's doing that to you.
And Tiara is right. And I know Tiara has walked away from many of her businesses. And Tiara actually referenced something to me that I hope she's okay with me sharing. But she said something to me a few weeks ago about how all of her dreams die. And I've spent a lot of time reflecting on that. And I was just like, well, why are all the dreams dying? Are all the dreams dying because you are giving up too easily?
Good point. I think there's a lot of truth to that.
I just wonder, like, I get it. You're burnt out. You're exhausted. But it's like you have to fight for what you want. Because no one's going to give it to you. And I think a lot of people sit around waiting for someone to give it to them.
Yeah. And I love what you said to me around that. You said, sometimes you have to fight for your dreams. And that struck me. Like, it struck me really hard. And I'm so glad you said that, because you're absolutely right that sometimes you do need to fight for your dreams. Even if it means looking at yourself and exploring, hey, why aren't these dreams manifesting? Is it something that I am carrying?
Exactly. And so I just hope that this really inspires people who are feeling really stuck. And those people who feel alone, we get it. We've been there. And this is why we started the community. And this community is really meant for anyone on the spiritual journey or anyone who's curious about healing or wanting a better circumstance, because we all need community right now. Like, really, that is what's going to pull us through all of this darkness.
Absolutely. So please do check out the community. You do get 7 days free just to try it out. And you can gain access through our website at www.goddessvibrationstudio.com. There's a couple really cool freebies on our website too. One of the ones that's going to pop up when you visit our website is our amazing crystals guide, which essentially has everything you need to make any crystal work for you the way you need it to, the way you want it to. It's something I wish that I would have had years ago, and you know, we put it together through lots of trial and error. So it's got lots of valuable information in there. Please do go check out those freebies. We made those just for you guys.
We did. And then we are also, well, we have a tarot webinar, Truth About Tarot, which I think is going to intrigue a lot of people because I feel like tarot has been pissing off a lot of people lately. So,
yeah, you know, tarot is an interesting thing. I think there's a lot of misconceptions around tarot. So the purpose behind the webinar is to address some of those. And again, there is a lot of information on that webinar that is stuff that I wish I would have known sooner. So, you know, we do these things to help you guys. So definitely check that out. We are getting ready to launch that hopefully in a couple weeks. So keep an eye out.
Indeed. So thank you, everyone. And we hope to see you guys in the community. And please come check us out. And I hope everyone has a great week.
Yes. Thank you guys for tuning in. Take care.